We're teaching, and I'm going back over. In fact, for 2 weeks, we had Ken Kasich, the missionary from Estonia, was with us. We hadn't really planned that. They were here, and so Wanda and I had a plan to go minister to a church. We had had that, and Mike was going to fill in. So for 2 weeks, I hadn't been teaching. I did 5 teachings on the area, the name above every name, and dealing with the name of Jesus. And we need to know and understand the fact that without Jesus, there is no Christianity, there is no church. I'm just amazed sometimes that, I mean, I've sat and listened to people's entire sermons and all kinds of things and stuff, and Jesus never even gets mentioned. There's churches and things, and, you know, people talk about, you know, being born again and all kinds of stuff, and you go to churches, Jesus is hardly ever mentioned. A lot of the new music today hardly even mentions Jesus at all. You'll never even see the name in it. They all kind of things, they have the word God, you know, it'll just sort of fit in, because any religious group can take that music and use it. They'll buy it. That's one of the reasons they do it, is because if you get Jesus out of it, you can get other groups will buy the music. You know, it's one thing. It's like with VeggieTales. They sort of got on them about that, because VeggieTales, most of their stuff never mentioned Jesus. Really what they were doing is other religions were using it. Even Muslim religions were using their stuff to promote, you could promote good works, nice stuff. And you could do it with their things. It don't mention Jesus. It's sort of across the board. I'm just sort of big on Jesus. I found out this a long time ago. Worship, you'll go a lot further in worship using the name of Jesus than you will not. You know, today, most of it, they just rely on all the hype, you know, all the good, you know, music, all the lights, all the stuff, and we have all the trappings. And that's what's going to get you there. You don't get in the Spirit through that. You never will. Nobody's ever got into the Spirit with them, you know, with that or doing that. And we need to understand there's nothing matter with having stuff, but that don't lead you into the Spirit. You don't get over with God quicker by natural things. You don't do that. That'll never happen. And so it's about doing spiritual things. Worship is number one from the heart. Worship is not from an instrument. It's from the heart. I mean, anybody go out here and take lessons to play something or to do something. We could all go out here and take lessons. Well, you play. Well, if what you do isn't from your heart, it's just, an entertainment thing. It doesn't do anything. It's one of the things is we want to do is recognize ourselves as the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a different people. This book that we read and we study, we're supposed to anyhow, the one that people preach to, we need to understand that Christianity is founded around this book. It's not founded around something else or what somebody else says if they're not saying in line with this book. Christianity is founded on the book. And so we need to get back over to in line. We're teaching on the name of Jesus, but I want you to understand this. The name of Jesus is not for everybody. It is from the standpoint of salvation. You can call on that name to be saved. But that name is not for everybody. That name and its use are for those who are born again. The usage of that name in prayer. God doesn't answer everybody's prayers. The Bible never teaches that. It teaches it nowhere. And we have this idea and we tell people, oh, just pray. Pray and ask God. Well, if a person don't belong to God, we need to understand the born again people are a nation of people and they have a right to the covenant. People who don't want Jesus and don't want that stuff, they don't belong to that covenant. They belong to something else. And they need to understand, you know, there's nowhere in the teachings of the Bible that leads you to any kind of belief that somebody can have some kind of other religion and they're going to be hooked up with the God that we're hooked up to. You know, either Jesus Christ was an absolutely incredible guy or he was the biggest liar on the face of the earth. Because he said nobody comes to the Father. He was speaking of Father God. Nobody comes to him except through me. So therefore, any religion based upon anything else, Jesus just said they can't get to God. Now, we have to decide that. Is that true or not? See, we need to understand the place that Jesus holds. Most of the church world and most Christians The reason things don't work in their life and God does not respond to them is because they're just generic. We're not generic. If we're just generic Christians, and that's what happens. Many people are generic Christians. They're just some kind of, you know, hooked up to anything and everything. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said that you can't get to the Father God except through Him, Him alone. That's what He said. Now, either that's true, or Jesus lied and other religions can get to God. See, this is one of the big fight over, you know, Christianity, why they don't like Christianity. The big fight over Christianity is the name of Jesus. That's why so much of the church is silent on the name of Jesus. If you start declaring the name, you're going to get persecuted. And anything, boy, the seeker friendly, they ain't mentioning that. Boy, you ain't getting out there and mentioning the name of Jesus because why? You don't want to get persecution. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you for my name's sake. Oh, I found out. I've had people already over the years I remember one time with two ladies. I first got born again and I was worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company and I was talking to these two ladies and they said, boy, they were Christians and all my words, you know, they went to church and everything else. And I started talking to them about Jesus and boy, they got ugly with me. They didn't want to hear about Jesus. And I, well, what kind of church do you go to? See, they didn't want, you know, they said this. They said they were going to heaven because they believe in God. Well, now, I mean, that's a real generic term. Well, what is your God? My God is what the Bible says. My says this. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God of Christianity, is the Father of Jesus Christ. They say, I believe in God. But the Bible doesn't say anybody's going to heaven because they believe in God. You got to believe on the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. But then, you know, and this is why we need to understand this. We need to bring the name of Jesus back to the church. It has lost its significance. And you need to understand this. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus, the Bible says, and shows it to us. If you do not hold Jesus in esteem to who and what He is, the Holy Spirit will not respond to you. I just want to tell you that. He won't. The Holy Spirit won't respond to you. The Holy Spirit, His whole job is to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to you. Many people are trying to get revelation out of the Bible. They don't really want Jesus. They want things about the Bible. They want to, you know, I want to go over here. That's why we have so messed up teaching on grace and all kinds of things. There's all kind of squirrely stuff being taught. It's because they have removed Jesus from the Bible. They want the principles of the thing. You know, they just want, oh, yes, you know, we're out here. I remember back when I was, you know, first born again, the first year or so and that stuff. And at that time, you know, PTL was big and they'd have all these guys come on there and how they would take the principles of God and go over and teach them to the world, teach business people how to prosper and doing that kind, teach them godly principles. You need to understand one thing. You take ungodly people and the Bible says this. What are they going to do if you turn around and give them your treasures? They're going to trample them. That's what they're going to do with. And that's what they did. You know, you teach a guy who's ungodly how to get money, and you know what he'll do? He'll become covetous with money, and he'll, after a while, you know, he'll be lying, cheating, stealing to get money. I mean, that's why we have the financial wreck we have today. It's because of the love of money. People will do anything for money. I mean, understand this. They'll tell us, oh, we need better education. Boy, we just need to spend more money on education, get people educated. Understand, folks, the educated people, they're all college people that gave us the train wreck that we have in government. They're all college grads. They gave us the train wreck in economy. They're all college grads. You educate heathens and you just got a smart heathen knows how to steal more. That's all you got. You got a heathen that knows how to steal more and how to figure out how to do it. They don't want God in education because they can't lie, cheat, and steal. You put a moral barrier on it and hold it. I can't go the direction I'm going anymore. I don't want that. I want freedom. Freedom to rob and steal from you. I want freedom to cheat you. I want freedom to lie. I want freedom. Whether people like it or not, people love doing those things. People love doing those things. They get over, if they feel they're getting away with it, They love it and they love to do it. And this is why, if we get people over and we educate people outside of God, you take God out of education. You can't remove morals and rightness from education. If you do, you don't have education no more. You know, United States, I mean, here we are. They just, you know, put the report out. You know, we're all kind of nations are ahead of us, and they say our kids. Their answer to it, let's spend more money. Dear Lord, we spend more money than probably the top five nations do that are ahead of us and educate all together. We spend more money, and our kids are getting dumber. Why? They remove God. You can't get God. I mean, my words. You got parents raising their kids like heathens, let them do anything they want to do. You got all kind of stuff going on out here, all kind of things happening and going on, expecting to live lives that are not right and at the same time progress and do better. It don't work. It doesn't work. And so we need to know that. Why is one of the things is because, see, the Church of Jesus Christ has removed Jesus. We removed, really, the cornerstone of what Christianity is. You can't take Jesus out of Christianity. You can't do it. Because that stupid word in the front of Christian is called Christ. That's Jesus. Why anybody says they're a Christian and they believe there's another way in Jesus, it's like, I'm serving a liar, I'm an idiot. No, I follow Jesus because Jesus is right. What he says is true. Now, there's one thing, you will be persecuted. The Bible says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. That's one of the things in our nation today. You know, they'll accept all kind of religions, but they want to get Christianity out of here. Get the cross away from anything. Get any resemblance of Christianity. You know, we got New York City schools moving everything of Christianity out, but allow the Muslims to have prayer. Christians ain't allowed to. Why? It's about Jesus. The devil don't like Jesus. And people who don't like Jesus, they belong to the guy that don't like Jesus, and his name's Satan. Jesus Christ told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, your father's the devil. Oh, we could never say that today. That'd never go over in our nice little churches. You scare somebody off. The devil might leave your church, and then what's going to happen? Oh my God, we can't have that. My words, he's the source of income. We can't have that. My God, they won't buy chicken dinners anymore. They'll quit buying the chicken dinners and we're sunk. My words, what are we going to do? But see, you bring Jesus, and this is the thing, is the church world, we need to bring more and more emphasis to Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to be saved. And we got to bring Jesus back into the forefront. And so, we see that generally, not everybody in the church, but generally the church has moved Jesus out. Hallelujah. Thank God for everyone that has not done that. And so we need to keep Jesus in the foreground. We were using a scripture that we had been using and teaching on. We had used from Philippians, the second chapter, where in verse 9, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, just in that alone, here we find out every knee is supposed to bow to Jesus. Now, did the Apostle Paul lie about that? What, did the Apostle Paul just making, he is starting a religion? Now, Jesus said nobody comes to the Father except through him. No one will come to the Father except through him. We find Paul makes a statement. All authorities belongs to Jesus. Every knee has to bow to him. See, he's making that statement. He's following in line with Jesus' teaching. Every knee must bow to Jesus Christ. Every tongue is going to have to confess. The day will come when every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, most demons are a lot smarter than most people, because the demons know Jesus is Lord. And if you use that name in faith, they'll bow. People won't, but one day they will. Jesus Christ is going to show up on the earth again. He's going to come back, and when he shows up, I'll guarantee you every knee will bow. The Bible says he's going to come back, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. You know, all these people that heard this Jesus, that you're allowed to live any old way you want to, and he just gonna, don't worry, nothing bad's gonna happen to you. They're gonna find out. A guy with a rod of iron, it don't get pretty. Jesus is coming back. So, right now, we're in this wonderful place of grace, but grace, the Bible tells us, grace was not given to us so we could live in sin. Grace is supposed to deliver you. If anybody is living under grace, then you don't want to sin. You don't want to sin. If people think sin's all right, and look at what the Bible calls sin in the New Testament, things are today, there's all the things that are called sin in the New Testament. People, oh, that's not sin, it's not wrong today. You know, you can just do anything you want. You can just, you know, be any old way you want to be, do ever what you want to do. It's not sin. Well, the Bible states what it is. So Jesus is coming back. Jesus Christ is Lord. We as believers, that's one of the things you want to do. You always want to keep Jesus in the forefront of lordship. He's Lord. Most people, and they get over in this thing, I've talked about it before, Jesus is being their buddy. He's not, he's Lord. If Jesus is your buddy, you'll think he'll hang out at the bar with you. You'll think that he'll just go to some place that Jesus is just hanging out. No, he doesn't. Jesus is Lord. If somebody is your Lord, then you should be finding out from them probably what they would want to do instead of Jesus just come along with me as no Jesus, what do you want me to do? See, there's a total difference. Most of Christianity, and even among so-called spirit-filled people, when they're teaching in the areas about faith, almost make it seem as if, you know, we manipulate God, or we're really in charge of God. You know, well, we're not in charge of God. We learn God has set up principles that we operate, but we need to understand this. You know, if God has called you to go to Africa to be a missionary, and you're sitting over here and wanting to believe God for $1 million home to stay here in America, you're out of the will of God. You know, if you want to believe for $1 million home in Africa, go ahead. But you belong in Africa. And we need to understand this. We need to understand you get into disobedience in what God's called you to do. It's going to affect you. Just as if I would be working for an employer, and that employer, I wouldn't be doing the job he called me to do and he told me to do, it's a good chance I would get in trouble. You know, he probably wouldn't want to be paying me a whole lot of money doing what I wasn't supposed to do. See, many people want the rewards of the kingdom of God, but defying who really is in charge of the kingdom, doing what they want. And we need to understand this. We need to submit to the leadership of Jesus Christ. We should be asking God. We should be praying. Part of our prayer life should be asking God what He wants instead of telling him what we want. Most people are a constant asking God for what they want. They call that a prayer life. That's not a prayer life. That's what my kids used to annoy me when they were little, always asking for something. See what? They didn't know any better. They were little, and they would always be, give me this, I want that. They'd come along, you know, but they didn't know. Most Christians, a majority of Christianity, that's where they stay. They're that little whining thing running around and actually annoys God because they never grow up. The Holy Spirit gets very annoyed with them. Very annoyed with them. Because it's always, buy me, give me, get me. Buy me, give me, get me. That's the way they're moving on. They never grow to the point to find it to take a place of responsibility to, you know, for their life. They don't stop and say, hey God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? No, I want this, I want that, I want this. See, that's all babyhood stuff. Well, there's things we need to understand that we'll never enter into until we decide we're going to grow. And all growth is in Christ Jesus. And really, when the church holds Jesus at the place they're supposed to, if you sit down and read the book of Acts and look at the book of Acts and the way, and look at what they talk about when they talk about Jesus. If you go over in the book of Acts and look at it, if you go down and take the letters to the church and you go in and start to read those about Jesus and what they think of Jesus, what they told the church about Jesus, you know, Jesus is in the forefront of it all. Jesus, and he's been moved out today. You know, the people didn't do us wrong in teaching us principles of the kingdom. We did ourselves wrong in our greediness to have stuff. We did ourselves wrong. We looked at these principles were for us to get what we want instead of us being able through faith to fulfill the plan of God. The name of Jesus was given to us so you and I can follow God's plan, so you can come to that place where Mike was teaching, faith and patience, where you'll come to that place where you'll be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Isn't it interesting? Faith and patience led to lacking nothing. Faith and patience came to that place where you didn't lack anything. And so we need to understand, in other words, if I'm going to follow God and I'm going to have the things that I need or desire, first of all, I want to find out, what do I need? Well, what do I need? If people never seek God to ask them, you know, God, what do you want me to do? You know, most people live and die. They'll work and do everything else where they choose to go, where they choose to be, where they'll live where they want to live. They'll do, and they're Christians, but never stop and ask God, God, am I supposed to do this? God, is this in your plan? Most Christians believe this. Well, you know, if it worked, it was God. Now the Bible says that, you know, unless, you know, God build the house, it said they labor in vain that build it, but it didn't say they didn't build it. You can build things, you can do all kinds of stuff, and you can labor and you can get it done, but God ain't in it. You know, if we use that theory, so we have the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is an absolutely powerful, remarkable name in what it will do. We need to understand as we look at the church world today. Now, we have Jesus, and we read this before from Mark the 16th chapter. When Jesus left the earth, and we know all authority was given to him, he went and told the disciples before he left, in Mark 16 and verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Now understand, what gospel he's preached? The Bible tells us clearly. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible refers and talks about the gospel of our salvation. People talk about it, but the true name of the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because without Jesus Christ in the gospel, there is no gospel at all. There is none. There is none. Jesus Christ is the forefront of it. Now, he talks about the believer who's baptized will be saved. He who doesn't believe, it don't matter. Take the God of your choice. He said he's going to be condemned. Non-believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said himself that the person would be condemned. You and I have to decide, is this true? Is this really true, or is there other ways to heaven? Is there other ways? I've heard all kinds of ministers say, oh yeah, there's other ways. I always think, I'd be a total fraud to stand in front of you to preach Jesus Christ and then turn around and believe you can get to God some other way. Well then, I would be serving a liar. Why would I serve a guy who told us a lie? We have loads of liars who are standing in pulpits in this city, around places. I know, because I've heard them say they believe there's other way to God. They're liars standing in pulpits. People say, well, that isn't nice of what you said. If somebody don't do it after a while, it's like lying has become a wonderful thing. I mean, my words. I mean, they just, last year I read the thing they did on a study. They had, like almost 80% of college students in these colleges they surveyed believe that cheating is all right and you have to do it to succeed. Cheating, you gotta do it to succeed. Oh my words, we need more college graduates, don't we? We ain't got enough cheats in this world, we need to get more of them. We need more liars and cheats. My God, we ain't got enough of them. And so, America says, we gotta educate our kids more. We gotta educate our kids less. Get less of the junk that they're being taught, the garbage and the filth that they're being taught out. Hallelujah. We got to get it out, not in. Dear Lord. But Jesus went along and told them that concerning, he said, now Jesus, Here this Jesus is, all authority is given to him. This Jesus tells the disciples that they're supposed to go. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. And it says, in my name they shall cast out devils. Now you need to understand this. This thing is punctuated. This is punctuated in English. But in the Greek, there wasn't any punctuation. And we need to understand, really, they should have probably written it because of what we know from Scripture. It should have said, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Not those who believe, those who believe in my name, because that's exactly, to get born again, you must believe in the name of Jesus. You must believe that He's Lord, and you must confess it, that He is Lord. You must confess that God raised Him from the dead. That is your confession that you must do. So in other words, we would say here, knowing what the Scripture says, we could figure out in punctuation, it says these ones who believe in His name, those ones who believe in His name, what they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. We need to know it qualifies the group. It qualifies the group, the ones who are doing this. This will not happen. Well, it's like church world today. Most churches you'll stand in, they don't even believe anymore in these things. The miracles stopped when the last apostle died, and all that kind of stuff. No, the miracles stopped when the church quit believing in Jesus. The miracles stopped when the church quit believing. And they'll stand in front of you and tell you not to believe. If anybody believes in Jesus, they'll criticize them. If anybody operates over and somebody gets healed, they'll make fun of it. Yet that same moron will go to a doctor and spend fortunes trying to get well, making fun of somebody else that's praying for the sick. Then they'll be so, go out, to their extremes, then ask people in their church to send in prayer requests, and they're sick, we'll pray for you. Well, if you don't believe God heals, what are you praying for Him for, you idiot? And see, we have these things are going on out here, and it's because when people leave faith in the name, we need to know everything that Christianity stands for, everything that is engulfed in this is in the name. It's in the name. The authority is in the name. Hallelujah. He has an office. God established, we can't go back over all the teaching we've had. God established an office. This Jesus Christ stands in. And this office He stands in. All authority in heaven and earth. God has given to Jesus all authority in heaven and earth. Everything it has is in that name. Everything has been invested. He's in charge. That's the best news we could have ever found out. That's the best news any human could have ever come across, was finding out there's somebody else in charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To find out this one that's in charge, he has defeated. The last time I talked, we talked about His defeat of Satan. He defeated Satan. We need to understand this. Jesus Christ, salvation came because of the defeat of Satan. There's another thing in the area. Most of the church, you won't hear Satan hardly ever mentioned. Most Christians, when I came into the kingdom, there was sort of a nuttiness over about demons and stuff. I mean, people believed a lot of weird things about it. Now, from the time that I come to the kingdom and we're 30-some years down the road, now most of the church world don't even believe demons exist. See, we got education now. psychologists are doing great. They're just doing wonderful. I mean, the psychologists are really helping people, in droves. I mean, suicide's up, depression is way off the chart in America. It's because psychologists have just really got a good grip on this stuff. And all the psychotic drugs that they give, it's absolutely wonderful. It absolutely, things are working. They give you psychotic drugs to calm you down that cause you to commit suicide. It's getting really good. So they got all this stuff is going on out here. It's trying to straighten out problems. Isn't it interesting? God thought man's dilemma was demonic powers. Salvation was based on the defeat of Satan, not on education. I believe in education, but I believe being educated in right stuff. As a kid, we went to school, they didn't teach us to be a pervert. They didn't teach us perversion was all right. And we didn't spend most of our time learning all kind of crazy stuff. We could actually read and do those things. You know, we didn't have a calculator. If you take a kid's calculator today, you can see him. You can turn around, take a college graduate, put him in a register, and if it don't tell you the right change, that moron will stand there for a week trying to figure out how to give you change because he ain't got his calculator to tell him. Pushing buttons. They say, oh, kids are so smart in computers today. They can't do nothing without them. If you take you let the electric shut off, and those poor things, little things, don't know how to do a thing today. They can't figure anything out for themselves. Nobody knows how to do nothing. And we got a large generation of people that does it. They haven't been taught to do anything. They don't know how. They can't think on their own. They have not been taught to think. They don't know how to think. They haven't been taught to think. You always get something that does your thinking for you. Somebody just tells you, you know, you don't ever think for yourself anymore. You know, trying to straighten out problems, doing the same things that caused them their problem. Well, that's going to straighten it out. But we've been given this, we need to come back over the fact of this name of Jesus. This name is the name of salvation. God knew that that man could not be saved unless the power of Satan was broken. Man couldn't be saved. You know, the church world has a lot of ideas of what they think salvation's about and ain't got a clue. God dealt with Satan. Paul wrote, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness with heavenly places. There's influences going on this earth. You can get all of man's little knowledge together, all their things that they think are smart, and they can't solve the problem. And they can't, because it isn't. Because they're trying to solve spiritual problems on natural levels. You can't do it. The devil don't care how many drugs you take to calm yourself down. He don't care. It don't matter to him. Jesus said the thief comes but for one purpose, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's why he comes. Killing and stealing and destroying is going to go on as long as the devil's allowed to rule. As long as he rules in people's life, as long as people don't want Jesus, Satan will rule. Even Christians don't want Jesus in certain areas of their lives, and Satan rules there. Satan can rule in those areas. Now, we as Christians have the authority to put him out. The world doesn't. The world doesn't have the authority to put him out. And so we have all this mess. The church is the light of the world. The church is. And so we need to understand that. Jesus gave us the authority. Think about in John the 14th chapter, you know, just in the areas. I want to first look at it concerning works, because Jesus said in Mark 16 about the signs that would follow believers. And one of those signs was laying hands on the sick. Listen what Jesus made this statement. Mark says about this, and Mark writes about Jesus leaving. But understand, in John 14, before Jesus was crucified, on the night before he was crucified, he told the disciples and he said to the mist. And it's exactly in line with what Mark has talked about, with what Mark shared when Jesus left and commissioned them. Jesus said to this in John 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these will he do, because why? I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He's talking about this casting out demons. He's talking about laying hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. Those who believe in that name will do these things. They do these works in his name. Or we could say this, we do them in his stead. We do them in his place. When the church uses the name of Jesus and believes in it, actually believes in it, it's not, I need to get saved because my marriage is messed up, or I need to get saved because, you know, my financial life. No, you need to be saved because you're an ugly heathen. If you don't come to that place to know that you're lost without God and on your way, the Bible talks about a hell. Jesus himself talked about a man who went to hell. And he was a Jew. But see, that's not mentioned today. But we need to, what's the purpose that men need saved? You don't need saved to get something fixed. You need to get saved so you become another person. Because if you get your problem fixed and you're the same person, forget it. It was a waste of time. You'll be back in misery again in short order doing the same heathen things you did before. I know every New Year's that people want to turn over for a new year. Doesn't it work wonderful? America's a wonderful place. We're just getting better all the time. Because New Year's comes and we make new resolutions, we're going to break, and, you know, there's no way to stop it. Why? People have the wrong nature. You know, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, and January 2nd, they're doing it. Why? Because their nature, even though they want to change, your nature is wrong. You're going to produce what's wrong. You're not going to produce what's right. You know, no matter how much an apple wants to be a cherry, it ain't happening. It's not going to take place. There needs to be a change. Men must be born again. So we want to get born again. But he told them here, he said, these works you'll do. He says, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, look, he said, I'll do it. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, the church would come back to simple faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus said God is glorified through you going around operating in the name of Jesus, doing His works. This is what the church has turned it over to. We have no more faith in the name, so now we just walk around and talk to people all the time about Jesus. That wasn't Jesus' intent. He wants you to preach the gospel, but He wants you to glorify God so people get to see God through the works, not through the talk. The windy church today, you know, that's all they want. That's all people want. You know, I just talk. Well, we've talked and talked to people, and they ain't done nothing. It ain't happened, done a thing. People are going, I don't know about you, I want to see something. You know, it's just through faith and patience we inherit the promise. We ought to see something one day, shouldn't we? If I stood and believed God, nothing ever happened. Who cares? And so what we want to do is we want to see something. He said these works they would do. He said God is glorified. So in other words, if Ed wants to glorify God, then Ed wants to get over into the works of Jesus, which we were told, were they casting out devils? Well, we don't do that in our church. We don't cast out devils. We take them home. You know, we don't cast out devils. We live with them. We live with them and ask them to dominate us and rule us. You know, we don't do that when we cast out devils. You know, isn't that amazing? Jesus put that first on the agenda. You deal with the devil. The first thing to do is deal with, you don't deal with the devil. You can lay all the hands on yourself and anything else. Ain't nothing going to change. You got to put the devil in his place. He's in this earth. The Bible tells us he's the God of this world. This world system that is rotten and stinking right now, that ain't working good at all, He's the God of it. He's running this thing. So the only way you and I can keep ourselves from the rot of the system is to keep ourselves free from the demonic powers. And you have a right to. You have a right to keep yourself from, and you have the right to take authority over others. You have the right to do that. See, we need to know. The Bible says the God of this world blinds the minds of people. They can't see. See, we preach the gospel. They can't see what you're saying. Why? Because we don't believe in casting out demons. We don't know that person needs the devil bound in their life so they can hear. They can't hear. No, we have another gospel. You just say nice things and it'll work. No, it don't. If we didn't need the casting out of devils, if we didn't need that, Jesus was an ignoramus. He put it first on the list. He put it first on the list. You need to deal with the devil. You know, Jesus don't have to deal with the devil. He's doing fine sitting at the right hand of God. There ain't a devil up there. The devil's is all down here, and this is where it's at. But I have authority, and you have authority in the name of Jesus. You can bind demonic powers from operating. If the God of this world is blinding people, then I need to take authority over a person. It isn't enough to pray and ask God for an individual. You need to take authority over that individual you're praying for. Take authority over that demon that is, the demons that are blinding that individual, and command them to cease and desist in their actions against that person so they can see the light of the gospel. It don't do any good to a guy who's wearing a hood over his head and cannot see anything for you to light a candle. He still sees nothing. You gotta take the hood off. See, people today, no, they're out here. You know, the church world has not just looked at the script. They don't look at the scriptures anymore. When I came into the kingdom, I was taught these things. Today, you know, we live in this, you know, tiptoe through the tulips Christianity, and everything's so sweet and so nice and everything's so cute, while our nation's going down the toilet. And the Christians that are singing tiptoe through the tulip are in the same toilet. Come to church, fake like God's nice, and go home and say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Things ain't working out. My God, what's going to happen? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. This is why the name of Jesus, see, you can't deal with the devil other than the name of Jesus. You have no authority to deal with him other than that. God gave you and I the authority in the name of Jesus to deal with the devil. Gave you and I that authority. So we need to walk in it. We need to begin living under this authority. Why? It glorifies God. It glorifies God. So we need to start walking in the light. We need the works of Jesus. Go, if you sit down and read the description, it talks about Jesus' works. What are they? John the Baptist sent a guy to find out if Jesus was the guy. He was the Messiah, the one they were looking for. If he was the guy, he said, send one of his men to see him. And Jesus said to the guy, he said, are you the one? John wants to know if you're the guy. You're the right man. Jesus said, can't you tell by my works? The blind see, the lame walk. All that he said, can't you see? Because I'm talking a real nice message about God loves you a lot. Oh, isn't he so sweet? And God loved you. No, he said, you can tell by the works who I am. You can tell by my works. These are the works. So many people trying to do the works of Jesus. And you know, the church world today, there's only one work of Jesus, and that's feeding the poor. That's all you do. And I tell you, the poor just come in by the droves, don't they? No, the poor know you stay poor and they'll take care of you all the time. They'll turn around and feed you and you don't ever have to go to work. You can stay at home. I can go through this town and show you all kind of people well fit to work. But why go to work? Ain't no purpose in going to work. By God, between the government and the churches, you don't ever need to go to work. Although the scripture says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, no, we don't like that gospel. Who wrote that one in there? Who put that nasty thing in there? Probably some devil. Wrote that one. That couldn't be. That's not our grace. That's not our grace. I'm sorry. We got a different grace than that. They don't want those things. But we find that John told us. Jesus said this. Now, and here, this is the thing. If you need to meditate on these till you decide whether it's true or not. See, faith is based on you believe the word's true, not the fact that you know what it says. Most people are trying to walk by faith because they know what the Bible says. That's not faith at all. I'm just telling you this. People are going to be lost eternally who know what the Bible says. That's not knowing what the Bible says isn't faith. Faith is responding to the word of God. You ain't ever believed nothing till you're doing it. You never believed a thing till you do it. And I just always use the example. If you're sitting in this room today and you believed in your heart with no doubt that this roof was going to collapse, you would not sit here. You'd get up and leave. See, we have a lot today is what Randy Greer talked about, informational Christians. The church is full of information. We got information. We call it faith. Listen what Jesus said. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now understand, here he's talking about works. When he said you cast out demons, you lay hands on the sick, they recover. Those things. You ask any of that, he said, in my name. He said, I will do it. He said, I will do it. Well, I remember back, you know, years ago with the Lord and talked to me about it, explained some of this stuff to me. He said to me, whenever you pray for someone, he said, my power is always there present to heal them. He said, now they have a choice whether they want to receive it or not, but it's there. See, through faith in the name, if I'm operating in the areas of faith, I mean, it's there. The power of God's there to heal. If you ask anything in his name, he said he would do it. So you're asking God, you're asking Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus for a person to be healed. The power is there to heal that individual. It is there. Jesus said it was. Jesus said, if you ask it any of it, my name, it's there. See, a lot of people are afraid to lay hands on people. Because why? They don't believe it's there. They don't believe that that name will do what it says. Faith in the name is what saves a person. Faith in the name is what saves a person. We need to understand that. Dear Lord, there's loads of people, they don't have any faith in the name at all. And they go, people lead them through a prayer, but it don't amount to a hill of beans. Nothing ever happens to the individual. It's because we don't talk about faith in the name of Jesus. Our faith is in a person. A person of the Godhead. That's where our faith, all faith in Christianity, its whole foundation of anything that you believe is founded in that name. We find that the works, if we're going to see demonstrations and signs and wonders, its basis is faith in the name. That's the basis of it. But we're going to also find out that prayer is also the basis of all prayer is faith in the name of Jesus. We talked about this before. Let me quick read to you here. In John the 15th chapter, Jesus said this the same night Jesus was betrayed, on the same night before he was crucified, he made this statement to the disciples. In John 15, verse 16, he said, You did not choose me, but I have chosen and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now listen, what? And that your fruit should remain. You're supposed to bear fruit and your fruit remain. Now what's he talking about? This is the fruit he's talking about. He's not talking about, you know, the Bible does tell us we're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It's not what he's talking about. This fruit he's talking about here, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That whatever you ask the Father, here he's talking about prayer. He's not talking about the works over here. He said, in my name, you'll have the works. You do those things, I'll do it. You command it. Really, if you looked at it literally from the Greek standpoint, when we were over John 14, it would say, whatever you command in my name, that I'm going to do. Now here he's talking about in prayer, this prayer, whenever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. In other words, you're supposed to have a fruitful prayer life. The things that you pray for are supposed to come to pass. Jesus just said it. Whatever. There's no step. Now look, Christianity will put loads of stipulations on this stuff. They preach and put up. This is why this stuff don't work in people's lives. This is why people can't get healed. Because they've listened to too many preachers, and they still do listen to too many people that talk them out of it. Jesus just clearly said, look, I chose you guys. I chose you for this purpose. You've been chosen. The Bible tells us we're a chosen generation. So this ain't just these guys. We're the chosen. We're the chosen of God. I chose you for the purpose that you have a fruitful prayer life. Whatever you ask God, it shows up. You do it in my name, it'll show up. Here's where we have missed it. We have spent all of our time trying to believe the promise instead of believing the name. The name is the authorization of the promise. The promise is of no value if you don't have faith in the name. It's only valuable through faith in the name. That's where your faith is supposed to be tied to. That if I ask it in His name, I don't have to worry about the promise. Jesus said, if I ask in His name, it's going to happen. If I believe in that name, it'll happen. It's faith in the name. We put all the emphasis on the promises, and everybody's trying to believe the promises. The name guarantees it, not the promise. The Word says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And that's where most people stop. That's why they don't work. What's it yes and amen in what? In Christ Jesus. You ain't got a guarantee of a promise without you believing in the name. You have no guarantee of salvation without believing in the name. There's no guarantee of nothing without faith in the name. Faith in the name is the key. The faith, prayer, answered prayer is in the foundation of believing that that name will get me what I wanted. That name will do it. Hallelujah. That name will bring it to pass. Father God will respond to me praying. Now this is not for everybody. I'm talking to Christians. This ain't for the sinner. The sinner has no place in the name. The name don't belong to a sinner. I'm talking about born again Christians, people who are born of God, belong to Him. This name is yours. It is the guarantee. If I believed in the name and the prayer wasn't answered, God lied. Jesus lied. I'm sorry. I will never believe that. I've had too many times the things show up. Too many times the things have happened. Too many times. It worked. And it was simply through faith in the name. Faith in the name is the key to answered prayer. You want to get over and have a fruitful prayer life? It's believing that you can ask the Father anything in that name. That through that name. See, if we go over in John the 16th chapter, Jesus again speaking before He left. speaking before the crucifixion, he said in John 16, verse 23, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." He said in that day, he was talking to them, there's a day coming. They found out when that day came. It was the day that he was raised from the dead. And after he ascended into heaven, he took his blood into the holies of holies and made an eternal redemption. People say Jesus saved us on the cross. Actually, that's not true. No man could ever be saved till the blood was taken into the holies of holies. And when the payment was given to God, if Jesus had not ascended and put his blood in there, there would be no salvation. The cross would have been worthless. All he did would have been worthless to humanity. Jesus Christ was saved when he came out of the tomb. You weren't till he went to heaven with his blood and he took that payment, and it says he put it in the holies of holies of heaven. He went in and put it on the mercy seat to make an eternal salvation. Your eternal salvation started the day that Jesus went into that holies of holies, and that's where humanity was saved at that time. Nobody was saved till that took place. Now that day, upon that day of salvation, this takes place. And he said, in that day, you don't ask me for anything. You're not going to ask me for things in prayer. He's talking about prayer here. He's not talking about works. The works are the things in the name of Jesus. He said, if you use my name, the works will happen. This is talking about your prayer life. This is your communion with God and your talking and your fellowship with God. It's done in the, he said, you don't ask nothing in my name. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you might receive something maybe. It could turn out. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says maybe. All that's been added by Christianity. Preachers have stood and talked this nonsense and talked this stuff. He said here, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. There is no more powerful word in the English language than the word will. The word will to be put there is really making a statement, it's going to happen. If it ain't going to happen, then we got to change that word. And they lied, whoever wrote the Greek on that thing. John Donne did lie about it. It wasn't true. You can't use the word will. I've learned over time. I've learned myself. It's number one, if I'm praying, things ain't working out in prayer, it ain't ever God's fault. Something's wrong on Ed's side. Somewhere Ed is missing it. But it's never God. It's Ed. And you need to come to that place where you realize, because these words got to become real words to you that you believe, not words that you can say, not words that you read sometime. Your faith got to be in the fact, that name. If I ask the Father anything in that name, God will do it for me. Anything in that name. He will do it for me. These things, look, he said, I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pay the Father for you. See, many people are trying to get Jesus to get them something from God. He just said, don't you do that. We're not trying to get... The name of Jesus is like, I have an access card, you know, in my wallet, and I have credit cards that I can go and use. Those cards, they give me access to money. They give me access to purchasing things. Jesus' name for the church is the access card to God the Father. In other words, what God the Father has put in heaven for His people to have down here, that God has His plan for us down here. Jesus Christ, faith in that name is the access card to get it. The Father responds, it's just like me. If I have my access card, say to my checking account, I have that with the, you know, my little numbers you punch in there, and you do that thing. If I go somewhere, I can turn around and get that, punch the numbers in. That accesses money so I can have whatever I'm purchasing from that store. Jesus Christ's name is the only name that works in heaven, is the only access card. And it does not work from the standpoint, I'm praying and Jesus is going to ask Dad to do it for me. Jesus don't need to ask Dad to do it for you. Listen what he says. For the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. In other words, God loves you. He will answer you as quick as he would answer Jesus if you use his name. You don't have to. I'm sorry, you know, we have religions and that stuff, and they pray to saints and they do all that stuff, and then they use the term Christian. I'm sorry, none of that's Christian. None of it's Christian. Now, I ain't mad just doing it to knock them, but right here proves it ain't, that's not true. I don't have to try to get somebody else to get me something from God. I can go directly with the name of Jesus. I go. I don't need to go find somebody else. I don't need to call the prayer chain or get, you know, maybe I can get Billy Graham to pray and get it for me, or I can get this guy. And that's what most people don't join in a prayer chain because they believe they can pray and get together with somebody. They do it because they don't believe they can get a thing and are trying to get somebody else to get it for them. That's why they're doing it. See, we need to break that. It's a wonderful thing. You get, people together to believe in the same direction is a powerful thing. But you know what? Me out here in unbelief trying to get somebody else to get it done for me, that ain't no help. I'm a weight dragging on that thing. I'm a weight dragging on it. We need to know. It comes down to faith in the name. Do you believe that Jesus is who He said He is? Most Christians say, oh yeah. Well, hold it. We'd have much more fruitful prayer lives if we did believe it. See, this is why we need to come back over to simple faith in the name. Simple faith in what the name of Jesus says. Now, I want you to read over in Matthew 16, in verse 19, when Jesus was talking to Peter and He made this statement to Peter. He made us Peter, and he said to Peter, all the thing that Peter said that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he said, you're Peter, he said, on this rock, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, because he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you're the Messiah. He said, on this revelation that I'm the Messiah, that revelation, he said he would build his church. And he said to Peter, he said in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now I want you to see something, because Jesus spoke, go over to Matthew 18, Jesus spoke this again. See, most people say, well, that was Peter because God made him the Pope. You know, he is the Pope of the church. Peter was never the Pope of church. He wasn't even the head of the church in Jerusalem. James was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Peter wasn't. Peter didn't hold that place. But anyhow, now listen to what he says here. He says, assuredly, in verse 18 of chapter 18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth. Now I want you to get this. We don't have time to go back and read the whole thing. What he's talking about here, Jesus first of all started talking about, he said, if your brother sins against you, go to him. And he said, go to him. He says, if your brother, repents, he said, you gained your brother. He said, if your brother won't deal with it, he said, get one or two other people to go along. He said, but two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said, if they won't, that person won't listen to the thing, he said, go take it to the church. He said, if he doesn't listen to the church, he said, treat him as if he is a heathen and a tax collector. See, tax collectors didn't have good names in those days because they were mostly cheats and thieves. That's what they were, cheats and thieves. You know, like we just found out about our IRS. Isn't that a shame? We found out one of the biggest crooks and thieves in our nation is our tax. Tax collectors are still around. As long as they ain't saved, they're going to be heathens. You can't trust people with money that don't know God. I even know some Christians you can't trust with any money. At least they say they are. Anyhow, you don't trust them with any money. But this is what he's talking about. Then he made this statement. So understand, this statement is made to the church. He said, bring him to the church. And if he doesn't listen to them, then what do you do? He said, you treat that individual like they're a heathen and like they're a tax collector. In other words, that ain't going to be your buddy you're hanging out with. Now, he's talking about people under the same covenant, under the same group. This is where this comes from here. Then when we read this, and it says here, and it says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He just made a statement. In other words, the decision that you make about this thing, heaven's going to join your decision. If you tell that person that they're a heathen and a publican, well, they didn't fellowship with the heathens and publicans from the standpoint. It wasn't that they hated them or you weren't supposed to hate them, but my fellowship ain't with sinners. We might want to reach sinners, but sinners ain't your place where you fellowship. They ain't the place. And we need Jesus said, heaven will agree with you. Now we know that that's true because Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and said, you've got a guy that's living like hell. He's living with his father's mother, his father's wife. He took his stepmother and started living with her. He said, you guys are full of pride down there in this place. He said, you're arrogant. He said, you should turn this one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That his soul might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, understand, Paul started talking about it. He said, by the Spirit, I'm saying this to you. In other words, God was saying to them, you guys need to judge this thing and deal with it down there. Because as long as he's in the church, he's protected. The church protects sin today. People live like hell, do evil things all the time. Ugly stuff that the Bible says that if Christians do, you shouldn't even, Paul said you shouldn't even as much as eat with them. And today we build ministries to them. Let them still live like hell as long as they fake going to the ministry and keep living the same old junk and doing the same old things. See, we need to deal. See, he's talking about the same things. Now, this is what he's talking about here. In other words, we look at, the church world looks at God. God's controlling and handling this stuff. No, he's not. It's on our side. Now, look at what he says. Now, he goes on to say this about on the areas, because then we go into this thing. He says in verse 19, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Anything that you ask. But now let's look at the verse. For he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. What's he talking about here? See, they've used these scriptures here specifically talking about when you come together like we're here this morning, Jesus is in the midst of us. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about a prayer of agreement. It's talking about believers getting together. He said, you know, if two or three of you come together to agree on something, he's talking about Jesus said, I'm in the midst of that. Or, in other words, Jesus said, look, I'm in it. If you come together, what? In his name. He didn't say, if you come to, most people, this is what they do. I'm believing God for this. And they say to the other person, yeah, will you agree with me? I'll agree with you. I'm sorry, Jesus wasn't even mentioned in the deal. Jesus wasn't mentioned. Jesus wasn't even mentioned in the deal. What he said? You're gathering this thing you're asking about. That word gather there isn't really good. It's translation there. I mean, it could be translated gather, but it's not good. It's not talking. It's about they come together. Two or three come together about something they're asking for. Two or three are coming together about something they're asking for. And they're asking in whose name? Jesus. Jesus said, you come in his name, you do the gathering. In other words, your request of prayer is in his name. He said, I'm in the middle of it. Or in other words, I'm in agreement with you. He's in agreement with you when you have him there in your midst by declaring his name and what you're doing. He is the only authorization. If you could get it without his name, then Jesus lied about the other prayer thing. Hold it. It's coming together. It doesn't say, if you're Christians and just get together and just say it, it's going to happen. He didn't say, because you're a Christian, you pray and ask God for the right promise, you're going to get it. Did he say that? No. That's what the church believes. That's what most people believe. Everybody's focusing all their time on promises and don't hardly believe that the name would have just got it for them. They're working and laboring, working and slaving. It's in the name. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I am there in the midst. In other words, I'm in the middle of that agreement. And let me just say this to you, just in closing here on this, because in dealing with these things, you know, these things will change your prayer life. It doesn't do any good to go up to somebody and say, would you agree with me and that stuff. You know, we need to understand about agreement, what agreement is. Nobody can agree on nothing unless they know the specifics of it. Many times that's why agreement never works. Is because people are just frivolously throwing things out. They don't even take the time, a person, you know, hey, would you believe God do this or that for me? Or anything. They don't even sit down, you know, with the person. They don't even talk 2 minutes about what on earth are really, what exactly are you believing God for? You know? That's just what I've learned over time. I've had people come to me and say, will you agree with me that, you know, that I'm healed? Would you agree, you know, agree with me? And they'll do that. I've stopped people and said, well, hold it. What do you believe in God concerning? Are you going to go to a doctor? Or are you going to go, what are you going to do? Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, when a person's going to go to a doctor, well, then you believe for a quick recovery. But if they tell you, you're not going to go to a doctor, you're just going to believe for divine healing. Well, I want to know that. I'm agreeing on one thing and you're on another. There's no agreement in it. There's no agreement in the thing. This is why many times people being ministered to, they come up and they want somebody to pray for them, and really, they're not in line with what they're being prayed for at all. There's no agreement. Jesus ain't getting in the midst of that stuff. There's nothing for him to tie on. There was no agreement there to begin with. And this is why we need to find out what on earth, if we're going to call somebody to agreement, we have a guarantee that whatever they would ask, they would get. Whatever they would ask, they would get. Whatever they would ask. And that's why agreement, I say something from the standpoint of prayer. That's where prayer can be very powerful. If you get two or three people, it's one thing, one put 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000. So the Bible says, you get two people, three people together in actual agreement. You know, Jesus said, if you didn't get it, go get 100 people in agreement. Wow, you'll never do that. Dear God, you'll never get 100 people. They go down to Washington and find that out. They can't even get two or three to agree as much touching anything they ask. It's why that, you don't need to get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. What you need, it's a powerful thing, is you find people who can stand. You don't go up and in 2 seconds make it a frivolous thing, you just quick say something. If you want somebody to agree with you, if you want me to get in agreement with you, I need to know what's going on. I need to know. Or there's no agreement in it, that's just talk. And see, we've done these things so frivolously in the church, they have become meaningless, and we even participated meaninglessly. And talk about believing God when no belief is really going on at all. Jesus ain't getting in the middle of unbelief. If Jesus agreed with me on what I am believing for, and I break the agreement, I just broke an agreement with Jesus. We don't even take it lightly. We go, well, I just believe in God, and we'll just walk away from it. Faith and patience inherits a promise. If you ain't willing to stand, don't you go through the motions like you want to believe. This is not something, don't shame Jesus. Don't shame his name. He guaranteed us that if we stood in his name and believed in his name, we would get it. That's what he said. So we need to stand. We need to learn to stick with Jesus. See, we have too much frivolous stuff going on in Christianity today. Too much stuff. It's really not good. It's not good because we've treated the name badly. We didn't realize with him being involved in it, really we've tread on him instead of letting him be Lord. And that has to stop in the church world. This is not a name that we just throw out there. This is the Lord of heaven. All authority in heaven and earth. I'm going to tell you, there's a day coming. He said he's going to come back to this earth. And when he shows up, I read the book. I read in Revelation what they're going to be saying. But when he shows up, they ain't going to be saying it no more. When he shows up, they're going to find out that he's the Lord of heaven and earth. They're going to find out. They're running into them. It's going to be too late. And see, we need to know that. When I leave this earth, I want to leave it with respect in his name. I don't want to leave this earth and found out I was supposed to respect it. I don't want to find it out when I get there. I want to respect it on this side. My prayer life is tied to it. If I want to do the will of God, and you want to do the will of God, we have to show high respect for Jesus. No man or woman is ever going to do the will of God outside of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is not going to reveal to you somebody else's stuff. He's going to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to you. And the disrespect of Jesus Christ means the Holy Ghost don't move. Jesus said, I'll forgive you of anything, but the Holy Ghost won't. You can't disrespect Jesus. There's a huge, high disrespect for Jesus Christ. His name is used frivolously. People say it with cursing. They say it with everything else under the sun. They do Christians. Oh, I know Christians that use the name in vain. They'll use the name frivolously. They throw it out there like it's some kind of toy, like it's some kind of thing. Cursing somebody, doing something evil in his name. He don't do nothing evil. These people wonder why they get into trouble, why things don't work out for them. The Holy Ghost, you can't turn around and treat Jesus like dirt and then ask the Holy Ghost to come and help you when you're in trouble. Ask the Holy Ghost to give you revelation about Jesus. Folks, there need to be a respect. Come back to the church again. of Jesus Christ. I've heard some minister was talking about the fact, you know, that commitment, respect and things isn't in the church. Why? It hasn't been in the pulpits, hasn't respected the name of Jesus. We don't respect the name of Jesus. Nobody will respect each other. The church ain't going to ever come into the place where it wants to walk till the church starts respecting Jesus Christ. We don't respect Jesus Christ, people won't respect one another. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God.